With Art Bell. To participate in the program, call toll free 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. First time callers, area code 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It is indeed. Good evening, everybody. I'm Art Bell. My guest is Moira Timms, and she has written a book called Beyond Prophecies and Predictions, Everyone's Guide to the Coming Changes, and we'll get back to her in just a moment. Just got off the phone with Golden, Colorado, and there is no confirmation of this second quake that was faxed to me. However, the first quake at 8.0 is confirmed by Golden, Colorado. So again, no confirmation of any other quake. However, I have a sheet here looking back just over the last day or so, 2 days actually, I can probably read about 10 or 15 quakes, the largest of them being 8.0, some of them in the 6 and 5 point range, some that look as though they occurred just prior to the big one, and some of a similar magnitude after the big one. So the action there was prior to and continues following the big one. We all know what information is all about. If you want to be plugged in to the latest on UFOs, all of the phenomena that surrounds them, encounters, sightings, abductions, government cover-up, the whole thing, there is a new publication for you called UFO News World Report. It is a very concisely written newsletter. And as a special holiday offer, you can get it for $19.95 a year. It covers the world for you, formatted and written by seasoned journalists. Find out what's happening. Call 1-800-830-9830. That's 1-800-830-9830. 24 hours a day. Or send a check for $19.95 to Box 2757, Anaheim, California, zip code 92814. It's guaranteed you're going to love this or your money back. Call 1-800-830-9830. Back now to Moira Timms. Moira?
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Yes. I was just finishing up telling you something about personal action, and I just wanted to make the point about that.
Please.
Because some years ago there was a study done of school children, and many of them felt depressed because they didn't feel that they would really necessarily grow up to be adults or see much adulthood, and this is because of the nuclear shadow.
Yes.
And so much of the success of peace work that has been done that reduces people's fear levels is to get them involved in participating in the solution. You see, when you are active for something that's part of the, you know, problem solving, then that takes the edge off the fear and off the sense of being a sitting duck, you see.
I remember when I was young, Moira, I'm 50 now, so I grew up through the Cold War. My little sister used to cry at night. She was convinced there was going to be a nuclear holocaust and that she would never grow up. So she was one of them.
Yes, and so I think a lot of children feel that way. It's a very insecure place and very confusing for children these days. There's so much stimulation, you see. So this is all part of what it is at this time in history. And so I do think we have to form groups of good, close, loving friends so that we have a buffer for when those feelings come up for us, because they're a natural part of living, but they're just exaggerated right now with the state of the world. So in my book, I do end the whole thing with these 12 steps. So it's a place for people to start so that they can do what they feel they can and know that it's not going to change the world taking one action or one step. But when you have everybody thinking that way, then, you know, you create a whole groundswell that does become a very potent force in the world for change and for good and for transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So you get what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. But your conclusions seem to be contrary to that sort of little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. In other words, your conclusions, as you've studied the various prophecy, seems to all point in the same direction. I hate to use the word irreversibly, but irreversibly.
Well, there is something coming online. We are moving very fast towards something extraordinary in the historical sense.
I agree.
And all the people who speculate on it kind of get to the point where they can't really verbalize what it is, but you get the sense of the excitement. And
that's right.
Just to kind of, and it's not for any one person to say what, because this is the great mystery, you see. But what I think it has to do with is it's an evolutionary change that we're coming to very rapidly. It's in the natural scheme of things, whether it's totally negative or just like scary positive. It's, you know, we don't know how that's going to turn out at this point. But it's some, the way I kind of hold it in my mind, Art, it's like, you know, you're up above the snow line, for instance, and you're coming down with the ice floes at the spring thaw, and you've got your little canoe, and the water is moving very fast. And if you are not impeccable, if you don't just do it just right, you will be capsized, you will be crushed by the big ice floes.
Mm-hmm.
So you navigate your way down there as fast as you can, but you just keep your mind on it, and you just do it because there is no choice. You know what I mean? And it's that kind of a challenge that we're facing. So it requires a lot of courage. It requires commitment to the growing sense of what is positive. And I don't think there's a blueprint out there. I don't think there's any manual on this stuff. But I think there's a deep part of us, you know, as individuals and collectively, that we go by the feeling of what it is.
I put it this way. Animals have instincts. We're animals. I think we have instincts.
Yes.
I can feel it. I can feel something like the other shoe is about to drop. And I've been feeling it for some time now. So have a lot of other people. It's just a simple, I believe, instinctual feeling. That's what you're describing.
Yes. And that is the guidance. That really is. And so one way to kind of make that more coherent, I think, is to look at myth. We're just getting now that myth is not fable and story and fantasy the way we thought of it, but it's kind of like metaphor. It's an encodement of ancient wisdom that has come down in story form, but it's true for all people in every culture throughout every age. And when you strip away all the fancy parts of all of the world and global myths, it gets to be very, very simple. It really boils down to the fact that there's a beginning of things and an end of things. It's not a linear movement through time. It's cyclical. Patterns of meaning tend to repeat themselves over time. And so when we look at that, we can see from the myths that have been left us clues that could form a blueprint so that we can navigate the future, because myth is predicated on the fact that what has happened in the past in a slightly different way will happen again.
Well, Moira, there are people who believe that our planet has been here for billions of years. And there are people who believe that civilizations, mankind himself, has come and gone many times. Do you believe that?
Oh, of course, yes.
Of course, yes, you say. Why do you say that? What evidence is there to back up the myth that civilizations have come and gone?
Well, are you talking hard evidence or soft evidence?
Well, I'm talking the best you've got.
Well, I'm here to plug my book. But in all fairness, for instance, take Graham Hancock's book, Fingerprints of the Gods.
Yes.
He's a prize-winning journalist. He's written a 600-page book. He took 5 years to travel to the sacred sites of the entire world. He doesn't, you know, wag his finger in your face. He says, look at this, and look at that, and what do you think? And he talks about things that are these megalithic monuments, 500-ton blocks that have been transported hundreds of miles by so-called primitive people at the dawn of history with technology that would be required that we don't even have today.
That's true.
So things like that are very compelling. And I'll tell you now what Gordon Michael told me. He said, watch Egypt in 96. He said, the stuff that will be discovered in 96, I think I'm quoting here, he said, will leave people gasping.
Gossiping?
Gasping. Gasping.
Oh, gasping. Your English accent is going to be every now and then. Gasping. Gordon Michael Skid said, the things that will be discovered in Egypt in 1996 will leave people gasping.
Yes.
Well, I know there has been a new chamber recently confirmed as discovered, and Gordon Michael's indicating there's going to be a lot more in the year to come.
Yes, there have been myths that have come down to us through the Greek historians, you know, Herodotus and Edgar Cayce, some of the Arabic sources that have been preserved, and they always spoke about a complex of tunnels and chambers beneath the Giza Plateau, beneath the Sphinx and the pyramids, that would be that are a repository of knowledge from previous civilizations, and we're thinking probably Atlantis, okay? Knowledge of their technology, their arts, their sciences, things like that.
Moira, I wonder if they, you know, I'm one who believes that this may be discovered also, and if it were to be discovered, do you think the discovery would be made public?
Well, I can tell you that next March, the Department of Antiquities are having an unveiling of the two secret tunnels beneath the Sphinx that have been discovered. It's going to be an international media event. I'm taking groups that will be there in March, and our group is one of the few that will be allowed inside the Sphinx enclosure.
Oh.
So that is promises to be very exciting. There is a sense, I mean, nobody has said this, understand, but there's a sense that there's more to this than meets the eye. That might be the tip of the iceberg or just the end of the tunnel. The Greek geographer, Iamblichus,
yes.
We had his texts in college and we go by every word he said, you know, but when he said that he was taken by the Egyptian priesthood into a chamber beneath the paws of the Sphinx that came up in the, the basement, came up in the pit of the Great Pyramid, and then he saw certain things inscribed on the walls, everybody goes, no, and they don't believe it, you see. So if this is true, we'll find out, because I know you had a guest on your show, John Anthony West. He had some people exploring on the surface, and they discovered a sonar sounding of a square chamber between the pores.
That's correct.
To my knowledge, this has not been excavated,
That's correct.
It could be part of what Iamblichus, at least, was talking about.
Uh-huh.
So I think if there was an event like Atlantis, where there was a universal deluge, or at least an Atlantic or a Pacific deluge,
yes,
there would have been an exodus of people, you know, the intelligentsia, the leading people who would want to preserve their technology. They'd want to have a record of their civilization for posterity.
You're giving me a wonderful answer, but it's not answering my question. My question is, if it is discovered, there have been previous civilizations, not necessarily one, but many. Do you think the information would be made public?
Oh.
That is my question.
I think it would, but part of the prophecy is that there will be cover-ups. Something I quote in my book by the Academy of Future Science.
Moira, I think you're wrong. Why would they, how could they possibly make it public?
Let me say this. The force of history will burst it forth. Look at the Dead Sea Scrolls. The people that studied the Dead Sea Scrolls were hand-picked by the Office of the Inquisition of the Vatican. What they found was heresy. The historical record was contrary to many of the fundamental teachings of the Church. So for 40 years, these people sat on the data. The world was waiting. Scholars came and went and were born and died that should have had access to those texts, and they never did because they sat on the heretical material.
You're making my point. You're making my point.
Yes. So it was eventually revealed, and now the Dead Sea Scrolls are in paperback so that you and I can read them.
Oh, that's true.
You know.
But when I said that, I meant in our lifetimes, in our children's lifetimes.
If you go by the prophecies, Art, Edgar Cayce said they would be discovered. Now, it is a fact that people in the Department of Antiquities have been sympathetic to Gordon Michael Scallion's approach to things. And the man who, I have a personal friend who is friends with the director of the Antiquities, and although I know there's a lot of professional jealousy that goes on in high circles where this kind of professionalism is involved, they want themselves to be the ones to release this stuff or to be the discoverers. They don't want lay people with a lot of chutzpah cracking the code for them. They don't want those people to get the credit for what they later do. So I think that there's enough people expecting and feeling deeply that there is something there, that it would be very hard at this time, especially given the revelation of these tunnels, to sit on the rest.
All right, Moira.
I think it might be an attempt, but I think it might be, I think it would be unsuccessful ultimately.
All right, Moira, hold on, just a moment. Currency is going to change.
Let's preserve the secrets to keep the system going.
Yes, of course.
These new leaps of consciousness that are taking us into, hear me clearly now, you know, transpersonal realms.
I don't
have any trouble talking about virtual reality and the global brain being the internet. We seem to have a little trouble talking about another or a deeper sense of reality or a transpersonal reality and, you know, personal
Slow down, Moira. What does transpersonal reality mean?
Well, it just means realer, so real that it seems like fiction, you know. Truth can be stranger than fiction.
You mean like today's headlines?
No, I mean like the things we're talking about, like the fulfillment of prophecy, like new inventions, like super intelligence, like suddenly being able to do it right instead of the way we do things.
Mm-hmm.
It means moving into a level of maybe more of the group sense of things, so that we don't just protect our own interests. We realize that we're all more similar than we are different, and we do things for all of us. That a world that works for everyone. That's what I'm talking about.
Sounds
we have
good.
That capability. We have the resources, but the way the system is set up does not allow for that right now.
Well, yes, but according to all prophecy, time is short. So, I believe the year that most point to is 2012, depending on the calendar you use.
However, Art, that is true, but we have the force of history behind us in the sense that many, many influences are coming to bear upon the human condition right now. These are things that we can only really intuit our way into. We look at the prophecies and we take the experience of some of us. I mean, there's extraordinary things happening on the planet that you report on all the time, you know.
Oh, yes.
So this wasn't so 50 years ago. So we're getting into some deep water and some interesting domains of consciousness, you know. So to keep one's center and to keep making sense of it all seems to be one of the major challenges. And so what I suggest is to have the guideline of, you know, the prophetic consensus, to look at the past and see the patterns of meaning that can be and are repeating themselves, is to give us a sense of where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
That way we can sort of navigate with some sense of direction. And so it's always part of the mythology that the first time is the perfect time, you know, the innocent time. There was the paradise, right? The golden age?
The golden age. Hold it right there, Moira. We're at the bottom of the hour. Rest for about 4 minutes. We'll come back and get to some phone calls shortly. If you have a question for Moira Timms, get your phone warmed up. We're going to the phones here in just a moment. This is Dreamland.
Kingdom of Nye. We continue with your calls on Dreamland with Art Bell. Call Art now toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-TALK. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Or the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. 727-1295 in the 702 area code. Now again, here's Art Bell.
Once again, here I am. My guest is Moira Timms. She has written a book called Beyond Prophecies and Predictions, Everyone's Guide to the Coming Changes, indicating there will be changes. And I've got some updates for you. Art, this is from Rick in Reno. And by the way, everybody, you can stop sending me USGS reports. I've got about a million of them confirming there have been, in the last 2 days, a total of 15 quakes in the Kuril Islands. And I said 15, culminating in an 8.0 earthquake, but with earthquake in the chain, but it is a 7.2, not 8.2. So there you have it. A total of 16 earthquakes. 7.2 would be the largest quake since the 8.0 quake. Also, I would like to read to you a fax that I got from Stan Dale, and I know a lot of you follow Stan very closely. Artichoke, his little pet name for me. I am hesitant to announce the following. I feel I must, though, in the light of the unofficial reports of magnetic field anomalies in California 2 days ago. The official report, which I sent you, says no anomalies occurred, yet I continue to get pilots' reports, etc., saying it did occur. For 4 days, I've been watching three tremendous thermal changes grow in size off the coasts of Nicaragua, the Guatemala-Mexican border, and Baja California, up to San Francisco. I have not posted these on my webpage, as I'm not sure yet what to say. Florida, the Bahamas, Chile, Argentina, North Australia, Southern Coast Australia, Adelaide, North Island, New Zealand, Romania, Bulgaria, Turkey, Japan, and Kamchatka Peninsula should all be on alert for action as well. Still trying to assess the changes here. Storms may be confusing the mantle's thermal effects along the east coast of the U.S. So, there you are. He said, I'm not sure of this call, but I think we've got a problem brewing. Regards, Stan Dale. In a moment, back to Moira Timms. Be back now to Moira Timms. Are you there?
Yes, Art.
Good. Do you feel up to taking some phone calls?
Oh, you bet. You bet. I just wanted to say that why are you making such a big deal out of the earthquakes? Why are you giving all this minute detail about it? I mean, what do you want to accomplish with that?
I'm not in the position of accomplishing anything. Simply presenting the news.
Well, you see, they're going on all over the place all the time, and if it's not an earthquake, it's something else. And so this is grist for the mill, and
of course
it is.
If you
stop and watch every car that goes by, you miss the big picture. You know what I'm saying?
You were telling me earlier, before the show, I think, how many 8.0 earthquakes we have on average per year?
That's right.
How many is that?
Just one on average.
Just one?
Yeah.
Okay.
However, what I really want to emphasize is, you see, this is the state of the news as it has become. People go, oh, wow, when they hear this, it just agitates them, but there's nothing they can do about it.
No, that's true.
Proposed.
In fact, if California, Moira, if California falls in the ocean, there's nothing people can do about it.
Well, you see, the big picture is that that is part of the overall scenario, because what we're coming into with the end of the prophecy cycle is like big time. Earth changes all over the place, you see. So
I do.
I just feel that by focusing unduly on every single anomalous thing, it just puts people deep into despair, you know. So it's not that they wouldn't want to know about it, but that is the hard news. It gets in your face and it gets your attention. So I'm presenting soft news here, which is to say chaos will increase, disorder and crime in the streets will increase. It's the nature of the times, and this is the nature of the challenge. We're coming down the birth canal, as it were.
Yes.
At the end of the cycle is always the beginning of another one. So it never was comfortable coming down the birth canal. It was just like total chaos, total fright.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the beginning of something wonderful and new. And so this is sort of what's going on right now. So the point I want to make before you open it to call us, Art, is that at such a time when intellectual considerations and technology is not going to help us out of these situations, what occurs, according to people like Carl Jung, the psychologist, or Teilhard de Chardin, the Christian philosopher, something happens to the group mind. Archetypes of wholeness emerge from the collective unconsciousness, And you don't have to understand what they mean or even know one when you see one for it to affect the way you think and feel. But what these images are that come out of the mind are sort of unconscious. And primarily, I would just point to what happened when we got into space in 1969. There we were, out there, we were looking back at Mother, the planet Earth, our home, in the middle of space. And suddenly, you know, you've heard this said before, there were no boundaries, there was no latitude and longitude and geographic boundaries. It was just our planet where we all live. And so that, the sphere is the archetypal symbol of the complete whole self. You know, that is a symbol of the center. And the center is the organizing principle, the creative generator of everything that's to do with life and happiness and perfection. So when we have such images, and the world tree is another one, you know, the world tree has its roots in the ground and the branches in the heavens. It links heaven and earth and what you see with what you don't see. That kind of thing. These affect the way we think, and we're creeping into people's dreams right now. They're showing up in art. There are people all over the planet that are not reported in the news doing ceremony to bring these symbols forth and just egg them into the collective consciousness so they can act as mobilizing forces for the way we think and the way we do things. So I just wanted to say this is what's happening right now as things get more and more intense and as the quickening gets quicker. So there's no place to stand, and that's the nature of chaos. And people really don't have a sense of where they're going. You know, you look at all the urban sprawl, you look at the cancer center, cellar, the cancer cell. It's all the same thing. You see, it's growth without restriction. There's no pattern of meaning. And so,
Maura?
This is our problem, but there's a way through it.
All right.
I'm just saying there's a way through.
All right. Maura, I think you're selling some people short. I think you're underestimating their ability to assimilate information without a panicking or quickening the quickening, but simply observing it. I am able to observe it, for example, without tearing my hair out. I simply watch the news, whether it's social, economic, political. I watch all of these arenas every single day. It's my job. And I nevertheless manage to stay centered. So in a way, it kind of sells people short a little bit to suggest because they hear factual news about an 8-point earthquake, they're going to go off the deep end. I don't think so.
Well, I really am not implying that so much as just saying that this is what takes up space as the news. The real good news is probably less tangible, and so it doesn't get reported. And so
that's true.
So that's really more my focus.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't mean to smack your fingers.
Oh, you didn't. No, you didn't. I simply wanted you to understand that many people out there are able to assimilate this information as it comes in and note what it means without adding to it because of a state of panic. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Okay, good. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hi. Hello?
Hello.
Are you there? Guess not. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hi. Well, what am I doing wrong here? Is there anybody there? No, I guess, Moira, I may be doing something wrong here. Let me try one more here. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Oh, greetings. Good. I've got it. Yes, sir.
Greetings from a fellow ham radio operator.
Indeed.
Yes, my comment?
Yes, sir.
No offense to your guest, but I've never heard so much doublespeak in my whole life. I'm a Christian, and I can tell you that the Bible is true because it is a supernatural book to the believer.
Well, I didn't hear her say it wasn't true.
No, but
all right, let's hold it. Hold it a minute.
Sure.
Slow down. Take a breath. What is it specifically that she said that you take issue with?
Well, I think what she's saying is it's a mixture of what Jesus has said in the Bible, in the New Testament, but it's wrapped, you know, it's kind of like the movie said, it's wrapped in an enigma. I mean, it's what she's saying is nothing that anyone can get their hands on. Jesus foretold in the Bible that we would have earthquakes, we would have beginning of birth pangs, but that there would be hope at the end of all that.
I think she said that.
Well, no offense, I didn't pick up on it, and I'm sure she's a wonderful person. I just can't, you know, that to me it's a lot of doublespeak, and as a Christian, I don't really think that's something someone can get a handle on. You can read what she's talking about in the New Testament.
May I just address the caller?
Yes.
I felt a little bit of pressure because of the commercials, and we've had trouble with my phone, so I'm having to speak extra loud, you know. And sometimes things get said that need to be gone into in more depth, so the full picture doesn't really come out. But in my book, I do devote an entire chapter to the Bible. I talk about the prophets, I quote the prophets, I quote Jesus, and I put it in a very positive light. So I think if you would browse through a copy in a bookstore, you would see that I do set the record straight for Jesus, okay?
Well, do you feel that Jesus was a prophet, or was he the Son of God, incarnate?
Fair question.
Definitely the Son of God, no question.
Then if he was the Son of God, God is perfect, and God cannot be an error. So therefore, whatever God says is true and perfect.
Well, did I say it wasn't?
No, but I'm wondering why you're trying to maybe mix it up. You know, it's like a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Compare it. Well, just because some people want to hear all science, that's what's real to them. Some people are only Christian, and they only want to hear Christian information. So what I've done is put the whole enchilada together so that we can emphasize our similarities, because what is said in the Bible is said by other world traditions, and I think Christians would benefit to know that, although it isn't, that there's no difference, there's no separation, it's only in the perception.
Now that comment I don't understand. May I ask a question? I do not understand what you just said.
My perception is that Christians only want Jesus to say what is so. If somebody else says the same thing as Jesus, they take argument with it. And I am saying there's one truth, and Jesus spoke it, but other people spoke it too in its essential elements. And so I don't believe that we have to be exclusive.
So that you're saying that other people can be prophets?
Yes.
Okay, then would you agree that the test of a true prophet is 100% accuracy?
No.
Then you would contradict what the Bible says. Because the Jewish nation was instructed to stone to death anyone that made a prophecy that did not come to true.
Well, I take issue with a wrathful God who does some of the things the Bible reports. And what I'm saying is that...
Well, then to be honest, Moira, you then take issue with many Christians, don't you?
I do, yes.
Okay, caller...
Not with Jesus, with Christian interpretation, and we could never stop this conversation. It would go on forever.
Yes, it would. That's true. All right, Moira and the caller, thank you very much, caller. Moira, hold on. We'll be right back to you. That was clarifying.
If you feel the desire to control your own work hours, your work environment, be your own boss, choose your own work companions, then maybe you...
Moments before the top of the hour to Moira Timms. Moira, I think that you and I look at the same things and see them perhaps somewhat differently. That's what we've got going on here. I look at the earthquakes, I look at the news, because I must every single day, and I go by my feelings, you know, my instinctual, we talked about that a little while ago, almost animal-like feelings. And I can't even tell you what it is. I wouldn't even try to put it into words except to say it's the feeling that something is coming.
Yes.
I don't overly worry about it, but I feel it, I note it, and that's about as far as I go with it. Otherwise,
well, you know what, I work in part-time in a metaphysical bookshop, and so I do get a lot of frightened people in that want solace, want answers, and
sure.
I see how sometimes a news item can be like a match to paper with certain people, and so I'm really aware of that. But I watch the science too, and I try and ground my information. I just was choosing to speak about the other end of the spectrum right now. Could I just say something like a PS to what the last caller brought up?
Absolutely.
I would like to say that the way I view prophecy is it's a gift. It's giving us a sneak preview of something that's in the works. And so the purpose of prophecy is to warn us so that if we take notice of it. We have free will, and we can take certain constructive action to avert the outcome if it's a negative prophecy. So in that sense, Art, if a negative prophecy is fulfilled, you could say that's the one that failed because we didn't take enough action in the right way to avert whatever the negative outcome was. So I feel a lot of that is what we're dealing with here. It's just we do the best we can, given the information that we have from the people in the past who could clearly see the nature of these cycles that repeated. And we all know, because at this point we're feeling it as well, something is coming online that's incredibly exciting and challenging. It's scary at the same time. And so keeping our balance is really what we need to do to see this thing through. And that means taking note of the scientific and the facts in the real world, the earth changes, but also not avoiding spiritual realities or psychological insights that kind of take us into another way of dealing with the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay. Moira, do you remember, I've said this to a lot of my guests lately, and really we're so close to the top of the hour that I'll hold it and we'll do it after the top of the hour. I don't want to get into it because there will not be time for you to respond.
But
we'll come back after the top of the hour and we'll explore our differences. Stay right there. Moira Timms is my guest. Her book is Beyond Prophecies and Predictions. And it explores prophecy, prediction, the Bible, kind of meshes it all together. And you'll get more of her take on that and a bit of what I've got to say after the news coming up next. You're listening to the CBC radio network from an area near Dreamland in the high desert. This is Dreamland.
The G. Gordon Liddy Show, only on Talk 102.
The bust is especially embarrassing for Mrs. Gore, a mental health expert who promoted family values, including a crusade to rape obscene rock lyrics, and she's written a book about raising R-rated children in an X-rated society. Well, here is the tip-off as to what happened, ladies and gentlemen.
My view now of where this change is headed, or what this change is about, or where I feel we are in this change, and I can put it very simply, and I can live with it very easily and have for quite some time now. There was once a movie, it is my favorite analogy, called The High and Mighty. It was a good movie. Moira may be old enough to remember The High and Mighty, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It involved a reciprocal engine aircraft, motors, not jets, back in the days when we flew the Pacific Ocean from here to Japan or here to wherever. And about halfway across the Atlantic Ocean, the reciprocal engine aircraft of that day could only carry enough aviation gas, so that they could go from point A to point B across the whole Pacific. Well, somewhere out across the mid-Pacific at some point, about the halfway point, a little red light would come on in the cockpit, and under it would be a label that says point of no return. Now, that simply means that you now have only enough gasoline to go on to your destination. Should anything go wrong, you do not have enough gasoline to turn around and go back to the point you took off from. Now, that analogy in mind, it is my view, looking at the world, listening to the news, and observing the earth changes that continue and quicken, that mankind's little red light came on some time ago. Now, I can't tell you what's at the destination. I have no idea where we're going, in other words. I simply have felt for some time that that little red light has been on. So we're on the way. Does that analogy make sense to you, Moira?
Oh, yes, it does.
That's the way I feel, and I'm...
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good analogy.
And I'm comfortable with that, centered with that, as you would say. I've got a fact for you here, and it says simply, if God is so perfect, then why is his creation so imperfect? You want to take a shot at that?
Yes, we had a thing called the fall, and that was where we ate of the tree of knowledge, and we disqualified ourselves from paradise.
No, we got thrown out, actually.
We fell out of the tree.
Well, I think we got thrown out.
Back up to it.
we got thrown out.
Yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Banished. So what this means is we have free will, and the point of the whole exercise is to get back to the place we left and qualify for godhood. And so the fact that the world doing the things it does and the people behaving the way they do has absolutely nothing to do with God. He says if you want to do it this way, do it and learn by your own mistakes.
It's called free will.
Free will.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn. There's nothing like a bit of suffering to make us modify our behavior, you see. It's a great learning process. We can learn through other ways, but, you know, the pattern of human nature has been to just wait until, you know, you're up against the wall and then do something. So it is a place of suffering, the world. It hasn't been happy. And part of what this sorting out period is about, I believe, and, you know, what the prophecies seem to be saying, is that this is a time when, you know, school is over. We're coming to the graduating point.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will graduate and some people won't. And you look at the native traditions, people who have lived this way for hundreds of years and haven't been civilized in the same way that Western culture has, they have a phenomenon which they call an initiation. Many of the wise people in native culture who are shamans, people of certain abilities, great healers, great visionaries,
yes,
they come to qualify for this by tremendous suffering. And it's like, there's always this story that is the same. It's like a brush with death, maybe an after-death experience where you actually were dead and returned. You know, there are these people that have been revived. Something that's so bad, it tears you apart. And all the mythology has this model of being torn apart, falling apart, being dismembered, and then something miraculous happens and all the parts come back together again and reconstellate at a higher level. And so at this higher level, you've got an evolutionary anomaly. A person who is gifted psychically is a healer and moves in a way to benefit all of humanity with whom he or she comes in contact. So I feel, in a sense, this is what the world is coming to. I was talking earlier of, you know, the original paradise, that was the perfect time. And so in all the mythology and all these stories, we hear about the beginning when it was perfect and the ending when it wasn't. So as time wears on, things become more and more chaotic. We get further away from our state of wholeness until we fall apart so badly and the chaos is so distracting to us that the only thing we can do is to wait for some internal process to happen in the deep psyche. And this is where these archetypes of wholeness begin to emerge. It's part of an evolutionary process, so that some people will not make it, some people will. The good news is that it's the beginning of a new birth,
mm-hmm,
a new phase of human evolution. But it isn't arrived at without this sorting out period, without this purification, and that's the nature of the suffering. So in the big plan, God has provided a way for us to get it right, ultimately.
All right, let's go back to the phone, see what they say. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hi. Hello there. Now, somehow they're not hearing me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Moira Timms. Hi.
Hello, Art, and greetings to your guest. Listen, I'm going to ask you just a generic question. If you were to be an alien force coming here, would you look at man as a mistake? I know I've asked it before, but I kind of want you to expound on it with your current guest.
All right, sure.
Good night, Art.
Good night. You want to answer that, Moira?
Well, would I be a gray, or would I be one of the others?
Oh, I don't care. You be any color you want.
I might look at humanity as a parasite.
A parasite?
Yeah, a plague upon the earth.
A plague on the earth?
Or I might see them, I'm just sort of...